Let's tell one right. And this is a surprise visit of Frankie and Betty Ann just after supper this Tuesday night, the 10th of August, 1971. Channel 1 right, and this surprise visit, Betty Ann and Frankie, just at the end of supper this Tuesday night, the 10th of August, 1971, to help me with a fence. Channel 1 right. And just at the end of supper, Frankie and Betty Ann, and Betty Ann had her eyes on Hubert H. Humphrey, Hubie. Tuesday night, the 10th of August, 1971. Sound one right? This surprise visit of Frankie and Betty Ann this Tuesday night, just at the end of supper, the 10th of August, 1971.
Humphrey been out there by herself all day.
I tried to talk Uncle Frankie. Just didn't feel like going back to work after he took Grandma to the doctor. And I tried to talk him to coming over here. He just went in there, lay down, and rested, so I couldn't get him to come.
Just like that.
Well, you know, I could see this
butterfly
outside.
Put a light on there.
Turn that first thing on.
I can tell that mile that way you hit it.
No, I'm not in there. I'm not a horse.
Yeah.
I seen Mr. Miles, the only one in quiet face. I seen him with a kid. I seen him with two kids, one woman, and four, five watermelons. Seen him again with some more watermelon kids.
That could be.
No, could be about it.
It could be when old Cecil Pardee raised melons in the back pasture over here that year.
That's right. That's when that was.
The old Humphrey's got his kid on him, you know. Got two, one place.
He got three, one place.
Right, we ought to bring that bulletin board over here where we can all see it. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Right, so all red-headed kid in there looks just like Sandra Knowles.
That's
all got history behind it, Frankie.
Yes, that's a pretty horse there when you're trying to do something with his hoof.
Boy. Yeah.
The hay people is right at it. Hay girl's up on top of the wagon and he's on his side. That's the way I used to put up hay.
Is it picture hay up there? We stacked hay out here a year or two.
He's up on the whiplash wagon and he's on the stack.
Yeah.
Of course, they might be both stacked. But I tell you, you know, I ain't got time to sit down.
No, it looks like you're going to sit.
Yeah, I get sat down now. I probably won't do no work. That's the reason I have to keep going.
I'm past work. I've been out there all afternoon.
I have too, man. I've been hauling rock with every house during my shift.
Well, it makes a difference, don't it?
Man, just about as well. I've been walking down the road up on the rock pile. It's so hot that you like picking me up off of it.
You see the sun drawing water and things like that, but it was drawing me this afternoon.
Y'all have seen me. I was red as a beet in the face and you still didn't get that way. It didn't bother me one bit. I could sweat. I wet my clothes, the thick part of belt and everything. I wet my belt. One of them big, wide, thick belts, all the way through clothes, shorts, and everything. I do it now. I ain't got on a belt. These blame things so tight and work, of course. So ain't no use to run a belt. I ain't worried about it. Now I'm fixing to head out on that old jumbo tomorrow.
That old 15 foot more.
Went to seen him to find out several things, you know, about the thing. Mr. Zed, it's his son-in-law's, you know, he's got his lease, part of his past.
Who's his son-in-law?
Henry Kidd.
Oh, sure.
And, see, Junior's got the other part. But he seems to think, you know, that everybody should do as he. He wants it done. I told Henry a while ago, I said, Mr. Iris been worrying about yesterday and y'all didn't get there with that tractor this morning. It's in and now he's worried and all in and well, Henry and them, they all done been here that morning. Just keep on rock. They come, I'll let you know. They come last minute.
Oh, that's Henry's mower.
Oh, yeah. He got two of them big old giant tractors.
Oh, that's right. I knew he had one of them.
He's got a big camera. That thing might sit. Yes, the tractor might sit.
Betty, and you look around.
Right here.
I'll look at these pictures.
Long ways.
Right.
He's got one of them old big chambers, them old jumbo.
Yes.
900.
Yeah.
He's set up about as high as. Where you setting up there? Almost, if I stood up, I could see further, higher than that door there.
Yeah.
Standing up on it. Setting up on it, you can see. Oh, you sitting way up there. I look like a bug on that thing, I know. Big old thing.
And you
got a big 40 bought last year.
You operate that thing? How do you get up there? You got a ladder?
Got steps.
Why, if Emmy is that big?
They're way up there.
And you sitting up there. Oh, I imagine you sitting hell a bit about that high off the ground.
Yeah.
Up in that seat.
Yeah.
It's powered steering and
yeah.
All, you know, you don't have to wrestle with it too much. The only thing about it, you got to be on your P's and Q's and thinking. You come to an end or come to a tree or something, you got that 15 foot more, about 7-8 foot hanging off both sides. I pulled it up first day I drove it. I thought it got over far enough to go between two trees, see, and it's plenty of room. I just didn't get over that way far enough. I pulled it up and shut it off, you know, and Henry was sitting there in his station wagon, him and the boy. brought it down, and he started laughing. He says, "Hey, Frankie." I says, "What?" He says, "Crank that thing up and back my mower off that tree." And I looked back in that thing and climb up sideways up on the side of that tree. I said, "Yeah, gosh, I didn't know." He said, "Yeah, so you're going to have to watch that, so you can't go in too close
oh,
to the tree."
Oh, that's right. You...
See, that's 15 foot. That's 15 foot behind you out there. I mean, wide.
That's
nice. I get on that track to Mr. Alberts, and it's 7.5 foot Lewiston.
Yeah.
And I haul a buggy with it. I go through trees, and you know, you just get used to going with that.
Yeah.
And get that old buggy. You get liable to tear up something.
Why, yeah.
That thing, it's got double gears and everything. It's got a high gear and a low gear, each thing. A low reverse and a high reverse.
Yeah.
Anything you go at is low or high. And it moves.
And now he got money in that, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
But he figures it'll pay off in the long run.
The only trouble, Mr. Miles or Henry and them, just like Mr. Albert told Janary's daughter, is they don't mow their pasture low enough. And he's trying to tell him, and it makes him mad, because Mr. Albert gets right down. He has me get right down. And he has pretty pasture all the time. He don't have weeds in it. And that pasture right now, he turned that new Pangola field over to him. And right now, you can go in there and there's cock weeds that high. It's causing him neglect. See, when I mow it, they don't want me to set and mow down. I don't mess with it. They set it. I run it right there. I told Mr. Albert, I said, "Well, I can't do nothing about it, because I'm just drying it for him." He said, I'm going to see if it won't set it down. Now, they got it set down pretty low this time, but these dog fennels higher than that door there.
Well,
like I was running over bushes with my truck coming out there a while ago.
Well, when them dog fennels stool out and get that high,
my gosh,
it's just like shrubs.
She tells her daddy, she said, "Yeah, but the trouble with you, daddy, said, you like to tear up all your equipment on flint rock." That's true. If you get too low, you might get on flint rock. Mr. Alvin knows what he's doing. He takes a ruler and he undoubtedly must go to some of them places where them rocks is high, and he'll take a doggone ruler, you know, and he puts that mower up. And he ought to have he tell me now if it's too heavy for the tractor to pull, raise it up. But I like to mow it low. You know, I don't want to get too low on count of rock, because you can tell something if you hit one of them old flint rocks down in the ground. But he knows about how high to set that thing. Well, they just do crease my hair. Sometimes, you know, they wash, the dirt wash away from the cow step around, you know. And it'll get low. Maybe your wheel will come just about where it outer edge will tap one of them blades, knock the bow right out of it. But
yeah.
High up beyond it, copper. Now, that's a bad place for flint rock. I used to bust them housings under there on them little boy, and it cost money too.
Oh, man.
And of course, he told me to run it and run it. He's another one that like to get out, you know, kind of.
Well, at least you could look around for that flint rock and then dodge it. You don't have to just...
Not in their grass.
Well, you can't.
They have it so doggone fertilized. Mr. Coughlin used to fertilize his pasture twice a year. And he had Pangola, and I just could look over one time. And you know, Johnny, I guess the gas man must have left the gate unlatched. And he had some heifers, and he didn't want them in the place where it was going to cut hay, see. And Johnny told me, he said, "Frank, you open that gate?" I said, "Leave that gate on the latch." I said, "That ain't been done." He said, "That gas man must have done that." He said, "Johnny, go to them heifers and let's go." And boy, we went across, all the way across them, well, that 20 and 30 acre fields cut off, you know, 20 and 30 acres. We run and run. I guess that 3 night was cussed day about walking and I run. I thought my tongue was lolled out and go running through that high stuff. I bet that stuff was higher than that. I mean,
the big part. Now the bloom part, you know, it comes out and the stew sets up back.
Yeah.
It'd hit you in the face. It just slapped me in the face, you know, and running through that. And it didn't even have enough of time to get dried out during the day. It'd stay wet down in there. I told John, I said, Dad, burn if I ever want to have to do that no more. I said, now, if we can't...
I thought it was raining.
We can't get on a tractor or something and go down there. I'm not running because I just can't do it. But we cut them off, though. But, man, we had to go all the way across that place running.
Let me tell you, Frank. Faye said you told them yesterday. What is today?
Day Tuesday.
That's Sunday, wasn't it? Yeah, I skipped a day. She said you were telling them Sunday out there how you handled these Dotson, that's the name of it. How you kept them in line.
I'm gonna put them in line. If there's several things, if they don't fix, they're gonna get in line. I don't know which way they're gonna come out of it.
Yeah.
Now, they got my bump guard. See, all them off except one. And one of it, the one that's on, that's loose. And they got the other three to put on. And they gonna put them on. Because it's brand new and it goes on there. And I'm gonna get them, else I'm gonna get some hides. I done told them. George Rowland seemed to be pretty good. But that guy that drive your car and then tell you, know,
yeah.
He's he's a mechanic foreman, you know, over the price of the used cars.
I don't know any of those people. Is that Ocala again?
Ocala.
Yeah.
And he drives the car around, but I wouldn't give a quarter for him. He stuck his head back in the door, and this boy told me, said, well, says we can allow you extra $100, being you trading your car in on a station wagon. But if you're trading your car in on that little Datsun car, two-door car in there, we can allow you no more than what he said. He said, well, I told you not, it wasn't worth it, $250. He said, well, I'm going to give him $350, trade in on the Datsun. I looked around, I said, buddy, let me tell you something. I said, you wouldn't get along. Very, very long.
Oh, really?
He backed out the door and went on, and then we wouldn't. I don't know. He just had a look when he climbed in my car, and I don't like hot dogs. And I might have had one time myself, but I got out of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in nobody getting in my car and being rough with it. I don't mind.
Well, you went with him.
No, he's taking it himself. And I told him, I said, I'll step back and ask, there's one thing I don't like. I don't like nobody hot riding my car, and I don't want you doing it. So this man that I was trading with, you know, Mr. Rowland, he said, well, Mr. T, he's a pretty good guy. I said, yeah, about that time he flipped that switch or that button under the adjuster seat, you know, and went back, and I thought, sure, the devil, he's booked my dog on seat. It's kind of heavy, set young man, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't do it that way, and you know, a lot of them, when you mash that button, I mean, you pull that little lever, they'll go back. Now, some of them are stubborn. You have to push.
Yeah.
You didn't have to push out the mine. All you had to do is just pull that little old lever, and they'd go back as far as you're supposed to.
Yeah.
So, right then, I didn't like that, of course. Wasn't nothing I could do about it, I don't guess. I threw his big tail out then, but I didn't want to. I want to try to get old Smokey off my hands and get all I could out of it.
You know, I think that's one way they make money. You get so fed up with old Smokey.
Okay.
The last time I turned the car in, I was so pleased to get rid of that, I would have paid him to take it off my hands. I had that old, what was it, Faye?
Oh, yeah, we had an old, some rain, thank you.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Done set you in all that there running I've done to get over him.
And it's a big cloud, I say. It's a real...
I was going to come over here yesterday and it rained, man. I'm telling you, that lightning
it,
rain.
It sure did.
It's y'all read in the paper this past week about Ms. I. May Mix and Mr. Max are losing them cows.
What?
Eight, nine cows got killed by lightning last Thursday.
Why, Frankie? They are the Mixons.
What's that?
You know Mr. Maxie Mixon?
Yeah.
One lives over there off my. He had 8 cows. Got killed last Thursday by lightning. Some of them high priced he called these. They had it right up the paper. I can't call the name of them now. But she said there's $3,000 worth of cows they lost right there in that.
No insurance.
I don't know.
No, you can't insure cows. Cost too much.
Well, some people do it, but you have to be, I guess, able to do it.
You can just leave it there.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But I believe Willis carrying insurance now. If he's, if he gets hurt on the farm or any cow, if a cow gets out and gets killed,
yeah,
they pay for it. And all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Mr. Maxie always has nice cows. I mean, he feeds them, and he always has nice cows. I know here, always been high man 15, well, not 15 years ago, but people used to live up there on the hill going to Wollaston, and people by the name of Nash. And that summer it was hot, and had a lot of lightning and thundering, And he had, I think these cows that he had was registered, and he hadn't been long, mm-hmm. bought. Of course, he bought them, I think, as heifers, but he raised them on up, and they were big cows.
Listen, Frankie, I want to ask you one more thing about your trading. Did you go in there all by yourself and do all the trading?
With your car?
Yeah, Betty Ann was with me. But she didn't do nothing. But the trouble over there, see, Mr. Albert told me, said, Frank, why don't you kind of, look around, shop around and other places. Said, I'd shop around and see what I could get. The cheapest thing I could get. And if I was going to get a new one, even a new one, I'd see what I could get. So, I wanted a Datsun, and there ain't but one Datsun place down there. And that's the Ocala Datsun, which is one in Gainesville. Well, Monroe wanted me to trade Goddard and Clark up there where he traded. Well, I used to drive in Gainesville, but it grew up so bad. It's just like stuffed pig up there.
Oh, yeah.
Driving in there.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, you go up there trading, you'd see some of the old greenhorn salesman, you would never.
But this old boy told Monroe, said, well, I know Monroe bought his last new truck. He had to wait on him a few days. They told him, said, well, it might be 5 days, might be 10. We don't know.
Yeah.
So, he turned his on in, see, to Mr. Moreau, bought his out in credit union. He owed $800 on it, see. And that was a good truck. Anybody got that, got a real good truck. Two or three out at the house, said, hey, if they didn't go ahead and take him up on it. H.J. Guy runs the store out there, one of them. So, he wanted me to go up there, so I told him, I said, well, when you drive my car, he said, I might want to drive Willis' truck, your car. I said, well, I said, now Willis, take me insurance off that truck. I said, and the gear, hangs up in it. I said, you can drive my car, you can't get it up to 70, 80 miles an hour. If you do, you'll have to put oil in when you get up there, but they can go 65 miles an hour without putting any in. But I said, you can't hot rod, but you've got insurance and everything on it. There ain't nothing wrong with it. So, but that. Well, I don't know. I might ride with Mr. Moreau. So he didn't ride, but he went by there one day and he told me, said, my brother's got a 65 Ford Fairlane. You don't know what to give him. I said, well, I can't tell you what I can give. And I hear it run. See, they go by the way it runs, And he said, bring it in sometime. Tell your brother to bring it up there. Well, I guess I ought to went on up there because I might have got, like Munro said, he believed I could have got maybe at least $200 cut on it. New one, because he says, everybody says, Ocala's higher than Gainesville anyway, a car dealer doing, you know.
Oh, really?
And see, Monroe had already bought two from him. This is his second truck, see. And they're good. He put that first one. I've been in it, man. It's been all over the deer woods, all over in that woods there behind the house where them niggas cut that timber and they cut the, throw the trees back in the road, wouldn't move it. He wouldn't get out moving things. He'd go right on over and claw limbs and everything.
In that Datsun.
In that Datsun pickup. And when he, it looked just as good when he got rid of it as when he got it. And the only thing, he had one scratch on the fender, and Danny went and was monkeying around with his car down inside and hit the starter, and it was in gear, and it took Judge off and hit his daddy's truck with his door. So, them little old Datsuns, they're fast. I tell you something, you ought to be sure if you ever hit one, you ought to be sure and put your foot on the clutch, you got it in gear.
Betty, you and Betty Ann just got it.
Betty Ann, shoot, I got to get out there, man.
Well,
I got
to
go.
Let me digest some food just a minute, and I'll show you what I'm up against out there.
I'll get you off against it.
What persuaded you in favor of a Datsun?
Well, Monroe, and I'd always wanted a small car, but, you know, I didn't want a Volkswagen. I never have cared too much about a Volkswagen. I wanted a small car, but I never did want a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And I'd always, when Monroe first got his, I said, well, if they ever make a car, I want one of them. And I seen the car they made. Well, I tell you, when the Maverick come out, the little Ford, well, what long after they come out, there's a boy pulled right outside of me over at Bartell. And I looked around, and it's solid red, and I looked around, and it's red Maverick back there. I said, no, man, I don't want them ugly looking things. And slant back, you know, all the way down like a wind.
Yeah.
So, everybody told me, said, Huck said he's going to get you a Maverick. Well, he come out with a Pinto, little Ford. I don't like it. Of course, I ain't never drove either one of them, but I've seen both of them. But Monroe said, well, I tell you, says, these little Datsuns are hard to beat. And like I say, I've been in that truck. I've been in it when he put it in water and everything, and it didn't look like it ever pull out. See, when you buy them, they come all the way around with six fly tires.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they come equipped, and they got overloading springs on the back. You can put a load. I told Miss Miles down there, and Jim, Willie, me and Willie went over last year over at Brunson to get them old quarter posts. He probably told you we got them for quarter piece. You know, you was asking me where I got them first posts I got filed up on that tree there.
Yeah.
And, well, it's some of them quarter and some of them, I don't know, 30 or 40 cents. I don't forgot which. But, we couldn't haul much on Willie's, see. I said, well, I said, Monroe.
Willie got in bad shape with his. He said, you all ground up a brand new tire on that thing.
On what?
Calling post. That new pickup.
He just, he said it threw it out of gear, threw it out of line, but shoot, that was him. That was his post. I didn't have nothing to do with that.
Oh, that was his, just by himself.
That was his. He was hauling him. See, I was riding with Troy. See, I didn't have nothing to say. See, I just rode over there with him. See, Troy had his loaded down. He had, Willie had 50, 75 on his, and I think Troy had 100, which Troy's is a 3/4 ton, see.
Yeah.
And it's got better springs on it. But Willie's little truck's gonna tell you about the Datsun. Willie always was a type didn't want to overload one. Well, I don't either. But I don't want nothing that I can't put what I want to haul it. And like I told him, I said, shoot, I ain't going in with a doggone mouthful when I can take two mouthfuls.
Yeah.
So he said, well, I said, you gonna go and break that thing down now. You know how Monroe is. I said, Monroe said put a load on it. I'm gonna put a load on it. He knows what it's to. Got overloading spring. Yeah, Frank, that thing's too small. It won't take as much out. I brought 50, 50 or 60 post over out of his 35. And that thing getting sway in the road, didn't even sit down. Stayed level all the time. Well, it said, my goodness alive. You know, I never thought that little thing would tow the load like that. Monroe says, shoot, why didn't you put 75 on it? It's all 75. Got six fly tires and overloading springs. And it didn't even weave. And I watched old Willie, tailing old Willie's truck, and that 35 was, it was setting up just like you see this truck right out here. And it was, you could see the front end go, no, I don't want to drive nothing like that. Now, that's the reason I like my old 48, three-quarter ton. And I put that body on, buddy, I could haul better than a ton on it.
Yeah.
And it didn't weave over the road. A lot of people said, no, I ain't going to put that on mine.
Well,
what
kind of hauling did Willie propose to do?
Well, he wanted it mostly, you know, just to run around. What I mean, you know, carting and all like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just throw his tools in and a few tubifores.
But, like he said, they wasn't made to take no big, they were mostly made to ride in. Well, he's right.
Yeah.
But if the company's going to make a pickup to haul stuff, why the devil don't they put something under it to haul it?
Well, you got to always remember to get those heavy-duty springs and tires.
Well, you see, what I want to do, I want to put some help-out springs on that 1972. Ah, I'd like to stay like it is. Of course, it's mine, but he gave it to me and told me that he might need it, you know, to go in the woods, back in the woods. Didn't want to scratch everything. So he gave it to him if I keep it up, and I could have it. See, so he might want it once in a while. I'll haul some posts back to wood. I said, yeah. Said it already skinned up on the inside, see. Did new one, ain't but it's a new one skinned up now.
Why, that old. It is.
Yeah, it's done skinned up inside the body.
Yeah.
Not on the outside, but I mean the inside.
Yeah.
I like to mess it up one day there. I went to tell something. I don't know what it was now. Whether it's a piece of rope bomb or what. And it just didn't glaze the fender.
Yeah.
And that's creepy.
Yeah.
You got him. He said, well, you're going to learn. Toot something around a little bit further. He went down the road and said, oh, that's all right. But he liked me, boy.
Frankie, let me tell you before you go. Let me tell you, I've been out there about a while. Your mama, I talked to your mama Sunday afternoon, you know, I just saw entertaining here. And she kept talking about that salt. She don't eat salt anymore?
Well, she can't. she eats it, but she can't have the salt like me and you got. She's got to have that old imitation, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And which I sprinkle a little in my hand, and oh, it's salt, but it just don't season stuff like the old type salt. But now she can't have it. She's not supposed to have no regular salt, just like I just telling me and you. I guess you use.
Well, let me tell you. How long has she been off of salt?
Well, that's what was wrong. See, that's what made all that water, excess water in it.
Oh, it is.
See, they had to work that out. See, by that's how she knew. You know, she had 10 quarts of water, I think. In it. I think it's 2 gallons. See, they work that out by poundage.
Yeah.
See, they give her shots and things, and then they work and must, and they work that out. See, then they put her back on the scales, and they find out, see, when she goes down, see, they find out how much water they work back out of.
Well, now, is she eating and everything?
Well, she has been eating too good. That's why we had to carry her back yesterday, get a vitamin shot. And there's one of the nurses over at Tulsa. You bring Miss Kitty back in and let us give her a vitamin shot. And boy, that thing hurt. Boy, she kicked on the floorboard. She's Thank God them things hurt.
Oh, really?
And, well, like doctor told her before, she wasn't eating. She couldn't expect, you know, I mean, she didn't eat too much. She couldn't expect for her other part of her body to work. And that's the last right. You got to eat. I know a lot of times I get her and eat fast and ought to be eating slow. And
yeah.
Just to get out to do something and wind up. It's hurting me all the time. But
yeah.
Just like that hurting I had down to my rib. I never did. He never did say what it was. That nurse gave me a shot back there, first shot I ever had in my life. I like to went through the wall, like went right on over the table.
The first one you ever had?
First penicillin shot I ever had.
God, and you give him a lot of them.
That's the first shot I'd ever had. Been close, too.
You're just lucky.
I've had that little old test, you know, for service. I mean, all that.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Miles, I got to get doing something.
Let me get my bridges on.
You got you a 410, huh? 410, 3 inch.
No, that was here, Frankie, before we got here.
It was, I want to beat you out of your little 410. That'd be about as bad as beating you out of Humphrey, wouldn't it?
Yes, why don't you do that?
I can't get any shots to put in it. It won't fit. I don't know what in the world's the matter with it.
Won't fit?
Those shells the guy in there won't fit the gun.
Maybe you got the two there. Maybe you need a 2.5.
Is that what I need?
I guess Margaret and Lehman.
Oh, it was.
Oh, the old one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was.
Oh, all that stuff, that little old trailer, all these. Of course, I didn't want it. I'd like to have it if Margaret and them hadn't wanted it, you know.
Oh, they wanted it?
Well, they wanted it, yes, sir, and because of us again, they want a lot more things that some of the others got. I don't know who got his Bible, but
I'd love to have that old shotgun.
Yeah,
I think about him going out there and shooting all them hawks.
And he used that thing. Yeah, he'd been hawk hunting the day that he fell too up that morning.
He had
been out there setting, come in and got him a little ice cream, and that's all the breakfast he ate. He'd go up there and sit in them woods, them hawks. I don't see how in the dickens he hold that dog on old 12 gauge.
He just didn't like those hawks.
Well, them hawks used to get chickens. It's against the law to kill a hawk now. But about everything's against the law to kill a hawk. But he didn't care. He'd get them anyway.
You mean while he's still shooting them, is against the law?
He come in against the law back in, I don't know, I sat on a trial down at Oakville where a guy got, some people got out of the car and shot a hawk in his field.
Yeah.
And he just happened, he drove up, you know, and he hollered and told him to get out of his field and they wouldn't do it, you know. So they had him right there, see. If it had been something else, he might have got by a little bit easier, but, got out of being charged for it. But the men told him to get out, and he didn't do it, so this man went home and got his two sons and guns too. And they got back down, and they told him they bet he got out there. Somebody had to carry him out. Because he'd already been warned, because they'd already called the law and told him that they'd warn him to stay out there, you know, and he wouldn't do it. So they had him down there, and a long end, and I done forgot what year that was. That's been quite a while back, and I didn't know it until then. And I said, yes, the people just shot him and got by with it, but said they officially made the law not shoot a hole. You're like a buzzard, you know, that's a fine if they catch you shooting a buzzard. A lot of people shoot them, you know.
But understand, most of his hawks when
there
wasn't any law on it.
Well, it didn't matter, don't you, see? Well, it mattered too, but he knew there wasn't nobody going to say nothing about you, know. He wouldn't get caught. What he'd do, he'd find nesting, you know, and he'd go down there and he'd sit. He had a bed of moss on a old big knot on a sweet gum up at Willis, two double sweet gums, you know, and he'd just sit like a chair, and he'd sit in that thing. And a lot of places, those woods, I walked those woods and I've seen piles of moss where he'd been sitting on a log or either old stump, you know. You'd know what it was. And one time, he was down at the woods, and he told me, he said, Frank, you ought to see a small hog. I said, I'm going to show you something for you. Yes, so I went down there with him along just about where he was. The morning Martin come out, he wanted to go up there and stay with Martin a while. And Martin come out and he kind of got wore out, you know, and he wanted a little cream. And he wasn't taking his medicine right, you know, but he kind of get by me and Margaret, you know, but he didn't get by Martin telling me he had to take his medicine, and he didn't take it, so. Margaret said, well, Uncle Jim hadn't been eating. Said, yeah, I don't think he's eating the breakfast this morning. He said, Martin, you got time for him to eat a little cream? Said, yes, sir, go ahead. And he goes, Margaret said, and bombs that cream down just like Martin didn't have a second to wait on him. He's a man like that. He didn't want to put nobody out to wait on him.
Oh.
So, he goes up then, they're sitting there in the living room talking, and somehow a fly got in the house. And he always, you know, kept one of them old flaps around, you know, to kill flies. And he told Martin, said, I'll get him. Well, they both kneeled up at the same time, you know, and his floor was trash, floor. And he got over bouncing and hit his head. When he fell, he hit his tumble over, you know, down to kill that man. He hit his head on that trash floor. That's where he had to put him in the hospital. He never did get out.
Where was he?
He is already 92.
He was at Martin's?
Yes, and he was up at Gainesville.
Oh, I see. And hit his head on that old floor. He hadn't lived on them terrazzo floors, had he?
No, so he was, well, he'd been in and out up at Martin's. Stay in there, but, you know, want to go and stay a few days. But I don't know, they said something about he's sitting in the edge of the chair, and he did like that. I think he's kind of bent over like that, Evelyn said, kind of like that, and you know, he's hooped anyway, and he just tumble on over. And
your mama said he used right strong language.
Yeah, he did. He did that when he was middle age on up in his 60s till he started going to church. Man, he used to want to get on us boys so bad, and I think his teeth won't fly out. Cause daddy wouldn't get on us for nothing, you know?
Yeah.
He'd get that away. But I remember the man used to have a horse, called him Charlie. And his foot was out like that, crippled, you know? And he broke a horse, he used to break his horse, you know? And daddy's one of them kind, you know, daddy wasn't a cruel man. He didn't want to get nothing trouble, but he wasn't no cruel man or nothing. I've seen him get out there, you know, and I've seen him beat that horse a chain. If I'd have been a man, she'd have whipped him just as sure as me and him stayed out there. And daddy, he'd go out there and he'd cuss him and tell him, you better get back in the house, I'll use the other part on you. And daddy, he just, you know, the type of, well, I don't know, like I say, he's just too, really too good. But he ought to run Uncle Jim off. What he ought to done.
Oh.
Several times. But,
you mean you've seen Uncle Jim use a chain on a horse?
I've seen him put as high as 3 bags of sand, these 100-pound sacks of sand on the slide, because that horse wouldn't pull it. I've seen him doggone sure take a chain. Rope, anything he'd get in his hand. I was so afraid one time him and daddy was going to get into it. So, I don't know. it's just a wonder that he had.
Yeah.
But daddy was always good to him. If he said anything out of the way to him, he was always would apologize to him. He did a lot of times. But I wouldn't thought about, well, it's good to be that way because the Lord, it's a lot better, Lord,
yeah,
to give you of all that stuff, and you don't have to put it on you. But I didn't ever hear him too many times apologize to daddy, the way he cussed and went on, you know, around in the house and all.
Oh, you mean just around coming?
He had a bad habit of it. If his chew tobacco didn't taste just right, he'd spit it out and probably cuss.
You heard him?
I've heard him many times.
Well,
he used to come in, he maybe just put in a good cut of tobacco, and he had a place on the gatepost, he always put it, and he had a man who'd come in and work some for daddy, you know, and he'd work out there in the field with him, and instead of buying tobacco, see, he'd just go by and borrow Uncle Jim's cut off of the post, and Uncle Jim would make Uncle Jim mad. He thought kids or something was, you know, throwing it away, you know, just knocking it off. Because we always watch it. He used to take his chewing gum when he started chewing gum on sun or something. You know. It had always had walrus. I had a great big walrus bush there in the old yard down off in the corner of the house. And every winter he'd help daddy moss it, you know, moss it down. And they'd pull that thing together and put sacks on it. And they'd go out there and he'd pull moss, white moss, I mean green moss, and he'd just cover that whole thing over, and we had all the walrus we ever wanted, and he used to think, you know, we boys would knock it off of the post for spite.
Yeah.
And he's about to get daddy to get on us, and
he wouldn't get on you himself.
Daddy knew where it was going, so he told me the old man's name was Ammon.
Oh,
he said, you better quit bothering Brother Jim's back now. He just, when he puts that tobacco up there, he ain't done with it. Because he always gets the good out of his tobacco. And daddy used to say, Jim, I swear, you take a half a plug of tobacco at one time. And he would. And he'd cut, look like he's going to cut a half a plug and put it in his mouth at one time.
Yeah.
Then he'd waddle it around and suck on you. Now. And see, a lot of it wasn't even chewed. Just the ends
sure,
of it.
Sure.
And when he'd just take it out and put it up there on the post, well, about the gum, I never did finish that. He used to go by and he'd pull him one of them leaves. He'd roll it and roll his gum up. And then after dinner, see, he done rolled it, put it back in his mouth.
Oh.
What kind of leaf, Frankie?
At guava.
Guava, yeah. Yeah.
So, I see him do a peach, you know, peach leaf. He take out. I see him cut, man. That thing would tear something.
You mean
throw it down?
You mean it was cussing with a sort of a style to it? Wasn't just common cussing?
He didn't pay much attention to it. But in his later years, I mean, after he got older, you know, and all, daddy died and all, he changed a lot.
Yeah.
He got there where he'd read his Bible, he'd go to church, and he wanted to pray, you know, and he couldn't. I don't know. He just
couldn't pray?
He just, I mean, in public, you know, he just break down. So he finally got that where, yes, he'd read that Bible. He got after that.
And he'd try to pray in public?
Well, he tried several times, but he couldn't do nothing but half cry. So, he just always, you know, asked big excuse, you know, whether they asked him or not. You know.
Yeah.
Like a chain prayer, you know, like preacher one. Have a chain prayer or something, you know. So, anyway, he is sort of a...
Well, now, he had figs. And every now and then he'd lose one.
Mm.
Now, did you ever see him when he is running down some figs he'd lost?
No, Well, he claimed, man, he lost some one time out there. Certain guy didn't live too far from us. He claimed he thought he got them, but I don't know. Now, he might have, but I don't know. Like I told Uncle Jim, he asked me about it, and I said, well, I'm not going to say this. I ain't getting y'all speed. And shoot, man, if you think he done it,
he mocked him.
Yeah, if you think he done it, you ought to get him. So, here's old man Johnson used to live out there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Balkton Charlie's the greatest place, the same place where Ms. Johnson owns now.
Yeah.
But, and he had a 90. Some more boys got some. I do know of some I got, though. A guy from Texas. Come out here.
I'll go put the stuff
and get come out here and claim he was a sheep. Had sheep at Irving, you know, and he was gonna raise sheep way out here, but he found out he couldn't do too much of sheep. So my hogs wandered off. That's when it was open range, see, back of the house.
Yeah.
Anybody could have stuff out there. That rise old bulls come all the way down there, our house, and breed our cows, and we didn't have to worry about bulls. See, they just had them all over the whole Mad Williston, practically. And cows scattered everywhere.
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about that.
So, I had some hogs, one of them, sound, I think, 7 big. And I went over on this place, and, a good friend of ours, Keith Stoney, he died and sold. And this old man from Texas bought it. And, he thought, he was on one around, just the type of guy. He was one of them foul language fellas too.
Yeah.
He just cussed you to look at him, you know.
Yeah.
And I went over there, boy, he won't get hot about the doggone thing.
Yeah.
Knowing all the time, he told me, says, they're probably your hogs, but your pigs, you ain't gonna get them back. But it just happened that part of them got out, and I got them back. But you know, I, back then, you know, you got a lot of times when you pull up on somebody's got money, you've got to have money yourself with it. Because you get it in down there, he's going to say, well, this guy, he just wants to try to run over me or something. He has extra $100, so I want you to put him in his place. Them doggone lawyers and judge down there, they'll do that. Some of them will. Now, some of them real good. But, you know, it has been things, times people that way. You know, people's money a lot of times speaks for them.
Well, now, you never had any experience in it right there, close by.
Well, I didn't. I never, you know, had.
Your daddy? No.
No, he
wouldn't go to law. He wouldn't
Well, he would. He never did sit on jury too much because he told me he didn't believe in capital punishment. So
he wasn't contagious. He wasn't contentious.
Well, he didn't, you know. He believed in anybody being punished, you know, but he didn't believe in, you know, somebody getting in a room and they might tell, you know, all of them get together and they might have that man, you know, kill him. And he didn't deserve to die, you know, something like that. I think what he meant. See, he just, he's the, well, Christian type person. He, he believed in that.
Well, look, Frankie, your daddy never was rough like Uncle Jim.
No, sir, he wasn't around us. Now, he drank a little when he was young, Mama said.
Yeah.
And we've seen him I've seen him one or two times, one Christmas. He felt good that one time. We thought he was dying. And he just laid across the bed. He'd had a drink, you know. And he laid across the bed, and we kids thought he was dying. But he gotten him and Uncle Jim and two or three more of the buddies up there. Well, that's before him and Mama married us. He got hit with a brick bat down there in Hokiala on the streets one night.
Yeah.
And I think Mama still got the tie he's wearing, got blood on it.
Yeah.
So they had to can him for the night, you know.
Yeah.
They worked at the Penny Farm out in Hokiala there then.
Yeah.
And, but Daddy then I think somehow got away from Uncle Jim. I mean, probably too rough for him or something, and he went down.
The fellow you worked with when he was, when you first knew him, he never was rough.
Well, I tell you, he's a man, he's always had money. His daddy gave him a lot of his starts then, and he got a lot of it back from us in that store there. So he made a killing. And then in that store, he went into them registered Aberdeen Angus cows.
Yeah.
He sold them for years.
Oh, he made money on at that store, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He run that thing up from back down the 40s up to 61.
Yeah.
And everybody around there bought rum. A lot of people, you know, like us, had to charge. And see, he got a lot like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times if it's somebody else's pennies that was able to pay for them, they might went on Kitty's bill, see. So, but he's a man. Now, them Zet Risers people, they'll would fight you, and they're going to be right. No matter if they're wrong, they're still right.
Yeah.
They're going to be that way.
Yeah.
Because they figure, see, they got money to back it up. They don't care if it's right or wrong. They still got money to back up. Like he told me in Monroe about killing Mom Dillon. He says, well, I can truthfully say, if the game wardens anybody gets y'all here on my place and right here around the house, because I'll pay you out. But I don't think the judge will mess with you. When you see right there, you know he's got a pull. He wouldn't be telling you that.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, it's not too much for a fine now, $200 to do these little things, you know, in the game deal. They catch you killing things at night, you know, hunting with lights.
Oh, really?
You know, it's against the law to hunt car lights or headlights. You know, you can do that.
Now, that's what you all was talking about over there.
But we,
You and Willie.
Yeah, we were running, me and Monroe was going up there killing armadillos. And Mr. Albert, he was going to give us a dollar for each armadillo, so he started off first three. He had to give us $3. And so I told him, I said, no, he don't want them. He mentioned something about shells. I said, yeah, buy some shells. You don't have to pay us to kill them. So we just like to kill them. We kill them right now. So Henry, his boy and another little old boy, we're both small boys, you know. They come out there on the prairie one night. And me and Monroe's out there, and he had that 30-30 rifle and his automatic shotgun. And them boys just kept coming on. Well, I told them, I said, it's got to be somebody Monroe that knows the layout of the land. They can't come across this prairie and these ditches and all in the wet place. So, see, I locked the gate behind us. See, and somebody would have to unlock it. It had a key to fit that lock. So, I wasn't too scared, but old Monroe's scared. He's taking that brand new 33rd rifle. He just got him a brand new one. He had one, he got another one. Brand new one. And his automatic shotgun and throwed it out there in the weeds. I said, shoot, man. And then, like, not found him when we went back looking. We went on up, and the doggone gate up there was closed. He said, uh-oh. So they got us. Well, I knew right then it had to be Henry or Mr. Albert or somebody coming in there. Because they couldn't come them roads. You take a game warden if he's never been in there. He can't go, if he is a game warden, he can't go all over a man's property. Not unless he's got a key and he knows where to go. So, and I've been all over that thing, and I know how it goes. So, we stopped, and this boy of Henry says, Frankie, he little old boy about, I guess about, must be 12. I said, yeah. When I got out, he says, my goodness, life trip, you like made me have a heart attack. I said, boy, don't ever do nothing like that. I said, what's wrong? Well, man, we thought you'd game warden. I kept telling him, I said, well, man, I told you that he couldn't be a game warden not unless he had Mr. Albert with him, either Henry or Jeanette one was with him.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking of them kids coming in there. And that little old nut comes in and leaves the gate unlocked.
Yeah.
I said, Tripp, don't never do that, man, when you're in here. Y'all got guns, and you know you aren't supposed to have a gun in them car lines. Said, always lock the gate behind yourself, and it'll either be your dad and mama or your granddad coming in here, because in and everybody don't have them keys, you know, for them locks. He said, you know, I have thought of that. I said, you better start thinking about it. I said, now that's the reason you found that gate locked, because I lock them behind you. Because, see, I know the way to get on out on the other way to use the same key, but he probably didn't, see.
At night.
At night, see.
You can make your way out there by, at night.
Yeah, it's about 464 acres of prairie. Used to be a lake, and they drained it.
Yeah.
And it's got ditches, but see, I've mowed that blame thing so much, so I know just when Mr. Ivers tracked, I know where to cross and all. And we'd already got off to a bad start. I kept telling Monroe, I said, the Monroe's wet out here. It's got wet now.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. I said, now we're gonna have to place to go across. He just barreled right on across the doggone ditch and getting bogged. I had to wade around my shoes and got them wet. I was helping push while he was trying to get it out, and he spun off, and I mean just muddied me, my face, hat right on down. Mobile hat, that's what's wrong with it right now. You can still see the mud in it. I never did wash it out.
Yeah.
Where that doggone thing is that way. He looked down and said, good God, Moses, Yang, what's wrong? I said, Dad, Bernie, if you spun off me, I was right behind that wheel. Boy, it just filled me full. Yeah, we was cutting limbs and breaking things, and he said, I'm going to have a heart attack if I don't get out of this thing. I said, well, now you better listen to what I tell you before you go in places. Frankie, no more rain we've had. I didn't think it'd be wet. I said, these places over here, it's tricky when it does rain.
Oh.
So, I said, you got to watch. I said, I've moved this thing backwards and forward, and I know where to cross.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, some of the going down of them deep ditches now, they some of them ditches, parts of it, that deep. But see, when the bulldozer finished, see, he cut out them. He just honed out a place, you know, where the cows and people could cross them. Well, Mr. Albert could cross from potion to potion. So he's got, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 ditches in there, different parts cut off. Them. So he said, yeah, but I thought you went across them where them stops are. I says, you do. I says, but there's one stop down there that was put there, it we used to cross. It's done got deep. The cows has honed it out, you know, and it's washed. I said, come on down here this next one, where it's honed out, you know, real, goes way out, y'all, starting back in where the stove starts and goes to the end of the thing, yon. And it just, you know, it's just honed out where a car can, truck can go down in. So,
and you could sail across there with your gear.